You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, this was not the result that you hoped for or expected tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. And you heard a couple of those questions to head coach Mike Budenholzer about this Indiana Pacers team before and after the game. The pace that they play at, even without Tyrese Haliburton, who is the engine to this offense, it has just given the Bucks fits for large portions of this season in their matchups. You think back to the first half that the Bucks had the last time these two teams played, getting up to a 33-point advantage for the Pacers, did basically what they did tonight in the second half and found their offense. Then playing earlier in mid-January, where that was a back-and-forth game that the Bucks eventually pulled out. This has been a tough matchup for the Bucks so far this season, but it's games like this that just loom ever so importantly in the stretch drive towards the postseason. We mentioned this a couple of nights ago when the Bucks were able to win the final two games of that Western Conference road trip, a trip where you could have very easily gone 3-0. Bucks were able to win on the same night we watched the Boston Celtics lose to the Houston Rockets, and we made the case, look, losses like that tend to be the types of games you point to after the season ends and says, that's the result that ultimately cost us our seeding. I think you could point to the Houston Rockets loss the Bucks had 2 years prior as the reason the Bucks did not have home court advantage in that best of seven series with the Brooklyn Nets in round two. Now, ultimately, it did not matter, but frustrating losses like that are what you point back to. Say, man, if this one went differently, maybe we're a line up there versus where we currently sit. 855-616-1620. That's the Old National Bank talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. That's the Old National Bank talk and text line. If you want to join us on Bucks Talk, Old National Bank, get old. But look, both the Celtics and the 76ers were idle tonight, so you just give up a half game in the standings. However, both teams will be playing tomorrow. You can't count anything as a win or loss ahead of time. Look at these results tonight and what we saw in Houston just a couple of days ago between the Rockets and the Celtics. So you can't count your chickens before they've hatched. But the matchups that both the Celtics and the 76ers have in their games tomorrow is certainly favorable for both teams. As we've continued to point out, it is going to be as simple as this. Who wins those two games? More importantly for the Bucks is that Celtics game. But those two games are very likely going to be what determines who finishes first in the Eastern Conference. Maybe you'll get some help. Maybe the Celtics and or Sixers will hit another rough patch where they start to accumulate some losses and play really below the pace that they've been at all season long. But it's ultimately going to come down to that. So we'll take a look at the rest of the schedule and what's ahead for all three of these teams. We'll take a look at playoff status as well. What the update is, it had gone from close to 90 to mid-80s. We'll see what the latest is in terms of the Bucks' percent chances of clinching and securing that number one seed. But again, plenty of time to hear from you on a disappointing night inside of Milwaukee. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. We'll check the phone lines and take a look at the rest of the schedule for the Bucks, the Celtics, and the 76ers after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.139/.123, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Indiana Pacers continue to give the Bucks fits, and they win this one tonight. You hope this doesn't loom large at the end of the season, but a very, very frustrating loss tonight. There is some things that I think go a long way in explaining the outcome of tonight. It's still a game that you feel like you should have won, And it's a game and a performance we really haven't seen from this team for the better part of 2 months. When we go back to that 23-3 record since Chris Middleton has returned, you know, performances like this where you just look flat for large portions of the game against inferior competition, it's gone by the wayside for the most part, and that's what's been one of the more encouraging things about this stretch that we've seen from the Bucks, the 18-game win streak, everything else that they had done prior to that, and really what this team has been since moving very, very close to 100% healthy. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. Old National Bank, get old. We head out to that text line and begin things with our old friend Dick in Port Washington. I would imagine you're not happy about this one, Dick.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could come and haunt you, but you know what? I think it's a blind squirrel game. I'm not terribly concerned. We're still two games up. It's going to happen. We could have had another one against Golden State, but I got two other points. First of all, Jordan Oro returned, and I'm glad to see his defensive skills hasn't deteriorated since he played for us. But more importantly, I think the 16.5-second retrospective video that they showed of his career in Milwaukee was a little bit too long. But let me move on to something more serious. I was concerned tonight about absences on our bench. Okay. What's up with Thanasis? Not with the team is what it said all day long on the NBA injury report. And more importantly, where was Brooke tonight? He wasn't on the bench. And this brings a real pain to my stomach here, because the last time I saw that happen, he was visiting a surgeon in California about his neck. And Bud let slip tonight, I don't know if you picked up on this, but he said, he twisted his ankle. Hopefully it's not worse than it is, or something to that effect. So these last 2 points, if you want to talk about Jordan, I'd be more than happy to, too, but those last two things that I'm concerned about, can you answer those? Where was Thanasis, and what's up with Brooke?
I have no idea where Thanasis was. Bud was asked to basically clarify the injury report before the game, and all we were told was we weren't even told that. The question was Thanasis not with the team. Can you basically explain that, expand on it? And he was told no. So I don't have any information on Thanasis. The Brooke thing, his exact quote, he tweaked his ankle at some point in the Phoenix game. We're hopeful it's nothing serious. I get that. I get your concern that he wasn't on the bench because of, as you mentioned, what we saw last time, that Brooke wasn't on the bench. If he doesn't play Sunday, and if he isn't on the bench, then you kind of question it. Look, I think part of it, too, is just Brooke. I don't know quite how to put it, but the bench isn't a great spot when you're in street clothes for a guy Brooke Lopez's size, so I'm guessing that was part of it, of, hey, just, you know, you don't have to be on the sidelines for this game. The 2 days off with an ankle sprain, I would assume, should be pretty favorable for Brooke, the 2 days between now and Sunday, so I'm very cautiously optimistic we're going to see him Sunday against the Toronto Raptors. But I did want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Dick.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, you know, I buy that, but you can sit behind the bench. That's where Giannis sits.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's getting treatment at the training facility, it's right across the street. I think that's kind of weak. I'm concerned. something's missing here. Brooke would certainly be there. The other game he missed, he was on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, look.
Okay, what were you going to say?
We'll see if this is more than one, and if that's the case, then you can start to get concerned. So we'll leave it at that. The thing I was going to ask you, to get ready for this game, I did see our friends in Indianapolis were starting to question, did the Bucks let one go and have the Pacers found something in Jordan Wara? And the Pacers fan base was starting to get pretty excited with Jordan Wara and what he had been doing offensively, and we started to see some of those think pieces and articles of, oh, man, did the Bucks give up on Jordan Wara too soon? To that question, you would say what?
I would say that the question should be is, for every point he scores, how many does he give up?
Look, I'll say this. There's two things that stood out tonight.
Right? I mean, come on.
I'm sure you picked up on it. They were attacking Jordan Wara every chance they got, specifically Chris Middleton. Every time he saw Jordan Wara, yeah, his eyes lit up, and that's who he went at. And also, yeah, I feel like you kind of knew how to defend the Pacers. I didn't look at the final, and it doesn't tell the ultimate story of the game. I didn't see what the end plus minus was. I'll see if I can pull that up here. But I would imagine Jordan Wara, in a game that his team won by 16, I would guess it was below single digits in the plus, if not a negative number, because it seemed like when he was on the floor, you knew how to defend the Pacers, because if Jordan Wara touched the ball, he was, yeah, shooting it.
If you're going to question of who he gave up to soon on, and we couldn't have got this any other way, is George. He's the guy that killed him.
Yeah, and look, and I'm not saying that they gave up on him too soon. I'm just getting your take on what Pacers fans. So Jordan Wara was a plus 7 in a game that his team won by 16.
What was George tonight? What was George?
Yeah, George hit some big shots for this team, and he had a big impact. George Hill was a plus 26.
There you go, my friend.
Yep.
We gave up him too soon, but we couldn't have gotten the guy we got without including Hill in the thing. So
yeah.
I'm concerned, but I'm not worried.
All right, Dick. Hopefully there's no more reason for concern after Sunday.
Okay. Can I actually ask one quick thing?
Yeah.
What did you think of the retrospective video they showed? Was that good?
For
Jordan Wara or Nora? I'm sorry. I'm really being mean. Hang up on me the next time.
Well, look, I only saw a screenshot. I only saw a still for Jordan Wara, so... Okay. I didn't see the video, but I would imagine
it was about 16 and a half seconds, and it was way too long.
Look, I think we all know there's a couple threes you could put on there, and there was the time that he blocked Kevin Durant in the season opener 2 years ago.
Yeah. All right.
Have
a good night.
We'll talk to you later. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank Talk and Text line. Let's check in with Ricky in Honey Creek. What's going on, Ricky?
Yeah, so this was game that wasn't seeming to be the best of games, but certainly the Bucks could have pulled one out. And late in that third quarter, the Bucks giving up their lead, and then you see the Bucks go down 3 entering the fourth quarter, and you're not feeling the great, but you know it's you're still got a good chance at winning. But then Indiana just never gave up. They never took their foot off the gas pedal, and they were able to push that lead into double digits, and it really never went back under double digits. So, it was nice to see Wesley Matthews back on the floor. I mean, hitting a couple of threes, and then Joe Ingles hitting 3 of 4 of threes. And then you got Giannis not really scoring a whole lot early. I mean, this is a team that he can do a lot of damage on, but just not doing that tonight. And then he was struggling on free throws. I mean, missing 6 free throws, I think, or so. And then another thing that killed the Bucks tonight was there are too many turnovers. I mean, turnovers keep giving the Pacers the ball, and their Pacers were able to score on a majority, if not all of those turnovers. And then I got one last thing here is that late in that third quarter, and then even in the fourth quarter, I mean, the Pacers hardly even missed a shot, and the Bucks just kept missing shots. I mean, including Pat Connaughton having some open shots, but just not hitting them. So this is why the Bucks lost, and hopefully they can turn around on Sunday and end up beating Toronto.
Yeah, it's going to be a potentially big one. Thanks for the call, Ricky, because the Pacers coming into this game tonight, and we'll talk about this a little bit more after the break, they were in an interesting spot where you're not too sure which way they're going to pivot. They obviously they've won too many games to quote-unquote tank and really try to play for Victor Wembanyama, but still, we mentioned this before the game, they're still in striking distance, if that is possible, of sliding down to around fifth and getting themselves a pretty nice draft pick, or they could still be in the play-in tournament. And as of this moment now, a half game out of the play-in tournament. So you could see them going either way. The Raptors, as of this moment, are in the play-in tournament. That's another team that they don't have a huge lead, and that's a team that's been inconsistent for most of this season. So those are a lot of the opponents that you have in the immediacy here for the Bucks. Tonight, it didn't go your way. Sunday, it's a game that you need to win now, and then you wrap up the homestand with a San Antonio Spurs team that has actually been playing very good lately, but still one of the worst teams in basketball. We're going to keep saying it, though. It ultimately boils down to the 30th and the 2nd. When you have the Celtics and the Sixers in back-to-back games here in this building, two-game cushion in the loss column on both of those teams. But it's going to come down to what you do in those games, and it's more important to focus on that Celtics game because that's who's technically second right now, and that is the series you can claim the tiebreaker. It's 1-1 right now. That game on the 30th will determine the tiebreaker there. So if you win that game, I'm not ready to guarantee it quite yet, but if you win that game, it's about a 90% chance, if not more, you're going to get the one seed. So it's just a matter of what happened tonight. We haven't seen that happen a lot in the last 2 months, so it can't be a reoccurrence here. You got to take care of business against the Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs now. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. I do want to talk a little bit about the second unit and specifically Pat Connaughton. I know he started tonight, but what we've been seeing from Pat Connaughton lately, because when this team is healthy, he's going to be coming off the bench. I want to take a look at some of the numbers from Pat Connaughton as promised. The schedule for the Bucks. We all know who's on the Bucks schedule, but how does that compare to what the Celtics and the 76ers have remaining? We'll take a look at that as well on Bucks Talk. 16-point loss inside of Fiserv Forum. The Indiana Pacers take down the Bucks tonight, and it wasn't just one player specifically that carried the Pacers here. Big performances across the board. Andrew Nembhard had a big game. Aaron Nesmith hit some big threes down the stretch. Four made three-pointers in the second half. Really, the two guys, when you look at the overall performance, that were most quiet were Buddy Hield, who did ultimately get to 20, but Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, the two most well-known names on this team with no Tyrese Halliburton, were the two guys that may have been the most quiet tonight. 31 combined points from that duo. The role players stepped up big, and as we mentioned, the plus-minus here. It doesn't always tell the total story of the game, but a lot of the plus-minus tonight matches the eyeball test. Plus 36 for T.J. McConnell, who had a huge first half when these two teams played in mid-January here in this building, had a huge second half tonight. 10 points, so basically half of his production came in those final 24 minutes, but it wasn't just the scoring. He made some big plays in that second half. T.J. McConnell plus 36, George Hill plus 26, Jalen Smith, who probably had to play a little more tonight than he otherwise would have because Miles Turner got into foul trouble. Jalen Smith, a plus 24. So those were the guys that really did the damage. And, you know, for the Bucks, Javon Carter, Wesley Matthews, Joe Ingles, those were the guys that had the worst plus minus. Minus 20 from Joe Ingles. That's the one thing that doesn't really match the eyeball test in this one. But a minus 20 from Ingles, minus 18 from Javon Carter, and a minus 18 from Wesley Matthews. This matchup isn't great for Wesley Matthews either. You like guards like a James Harden and those type of wing players for Wesley Matthews to be matched up against. This is a north-south team in the Indiana Pacers. Even without Tyrese Halliburton, they get the ball and they go. And look, 80-plus points in a half speaks to that. But just the pace that this game was played at, it's not an ideal matchup for Wesley Matthews. So I do think that factored in as well. But look, we should also point out Giannis did get to 25 points and 9 rebounds, but this is an interior defense that Giannis has historically feasted on. And these are the type of opponents and defenses that Giannis can go to work on and get whatever he wants. And something just didn't look right. He never had those stretches where he was absolutely taking over and destroying. I do think foul trouble factored into that. 3 fouls that he picked up in the second quarter in the span of less than a minute. 3 quick fouls. He had the defensive foul, an offensive foul, and then a reach-in foul. Less than a minute that you had that sequence take place, you pulled him off the floor for a large portion of that first half because of that foul trouble. Then he picks up the 4th in the third quarter, and he had to watch how he played from that point forward. He ultimately did get one more, getting to 5 personal fouls in this one. But those fouls kind of killed Giannis' rhythm or ability to get into a rhythm, and it also really impacted how he was able to play. And I think part of the lack of aggressiveness was because of those fouls. So it was just a number of things tonight for the Bucks in this loss to the Pacers. And look, the other thing is this. The foul trouble was part of it, but the Pacers, with no Brook Lopez, they wanted to get those pick and rolls and get the switches. And especially once Giannis got to his 5th foul, we saw time and time again, Andrew Nembhard, TJ McConnell, they would run that pick and roll. They would get Giannis on him, and they would just go right downhill to the basket. We continue to see this. As good a defender as Giannis is, I think we've all seen enough to know that's not his strength, to get Giannis in space. He is a very, very good helper and a weak side guy, but when you get a smaller guy in space and Giannis has to take him straight up, that's not his strength. Not to say he's bad at it. That's not his strong suit. And that's what the Pacers were taking advantage of. And it also helps when he's sitting at 5 fouls and he can't be ultra-aggressive. So all of these things, defense was the issue. And again, not having Brook Lopez back there as the ultimate safety valve, that changed a lot of things. Where Giannis can't just roam and come clean things up because you have Brook back there, it was a lot of downhill basketball. Bobby Portis isn't a rim protector. Myers Leonard is not a rim protector. And this was just starting to be a layup line for both of these teams. So, look, you're not going to win every game. You weren't going to go on a, 14-game win streak to close out the season. I think we all knew that. 15-game. But you just can't have, at this point of the season, multiple losses like this start to pop up. So, you lose this game to a game opponent, you were shorthanded. They were missing pieces just as big, probably bigger, in the case of Tyrese Halliburton, and they took advantage. So now you got to bounce back and do the same against the Toronto Raptors on Sunday night in this building. And again, it's a Raptors team that's going to need to win. I do think a big part of this, we mentioned this on the postgame show, is just the schedule overall. This was the 4th game in the last 6 days that the Bucks had played. You go back to Saturday night in San Francisco, you go to overtime against the Warriors. Then you get a day off, but that day off is going down the coast in Sacramento, going up the coast in Sacramento to take on the Kings. Then you go into Phoenix, back-to-back, your 3rd game in 4 days, and now you're coming from the West Coast back to the Midwest here in Milwaukee and taking on this Indiana Pacers team tonight. 4th game played in the last 6 days. All of those were highly contested games that went down to the wire, and one of them in overtime. So I think that kind of took a little bit out of you as well, that these 2 sets here, 2 days off between today and Sunday, and then after that, 2 more days off, that's going to be huge for this team. Because after that, you're going to have 10 games remaining. Basically, half of your remaining schedule is this upcoming 4-game road trip that presents some challenges. So you have to take advantage of this rest that you have now, and it makes those 2 games, Sunday and Wednesday, all the more important that you get rest for them. You got to win those games because the 4 games in 6 days, everything that we've talked about there and that type of schedule, back-to-backs, those aren't done either. Those are coming back in about a week from now, where that 4-game road trip starts 1 week from tomorrow in Utah, then another back-to-back Saturday night in Denver against the Jazz. Then you have Sunday off, but Monday you play in Detroit against the Pistons. So right there, another three games in 4 days. Wednesday on the road in Indiana against the Pacers. And then you got those two big games that we continue to point to. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. That's the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a little bit of time left to hear from you. When we come back, though, mentioned this a couple of times, what stands out for this team, specifically some of their key pieces off the bench? Pat Connaughton, a couple of sequences tonight where the Pat Connaughton we saw the last few years came up big with some shots, and in those moments tonight, you were waiting for some of those shots to drop. They just didn't. Some of the numbers and trends we've seen from Pat Connaughton, we'll dive into those numbers and take a look at that remaining schedule for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics after this on Bucks Talk. .139, .123 is the final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Indiana Pacers take down the Bucks tonight. 22 made threes in this game for the Pacers, just 11 for the Milwaukee Bucks in this loss. So two games in the loss column now. Two games overall separating the Bucks and the Celtics. But loss column, as we continue to mention, that's the most important to keep an eye on at this point of the year. Two games in the loss column over the Celtics and the 76ers. Both those teams with 22 losses on the season. Bucks with 20 with 50 wins. The only team in the NBA so far to reach 50 wins, 50 and 20 here with 12 games remaining. So both the Bucks and the Celtics have 12 games left here. The 76ers still have 14 games remaining. And their rough patch comes right around the time when we mentioned the Bucks' schedule picks up. So it's basically a week from now when we start to see a shift towards some pretty difficult scheduling for the Philadelphia 76ers. All three of these teams, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics, are in a really favorable spot right now with their schedule. And for the Celtics, it's worth pointing out, we say favorable spot. They're in the midst of a six-game road trip, and they stubbed their toe in Houston just as the Bucks did at home tonight. But most of those teams, until the very end of this six-game road trip, their games the Celtics should win. Sixers had a pretty difficult game last night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they still have one of the most difficult schedules remaining in the league, but sandwiched around that Cavaliers game, some pretty winnable games for Philly. So for the Bucks again, these two games, the Raptors and the Spurs, Sunday and Wednesday, the positive there is I think tonight's result is going to bring out a different version of the Bucks first and foremost, just listening to some of the things head coach Mike Budenholzer had to say after the game. I think that's a positive there. These are games the Bucks should win, second most there or secondly there. And also, there's four rest days around those games. Two of them between now and Sunday Sunday against the Raptors, and then two of them between Sunday and Wednesday against the Spurs. But after that, you run right back into this four games in 6 days in Utah, in Denver, in Detroit, in Indiana, and then back home for the Celtics, the 76ers, and essentially home for most of the close to the schedule. But that's the stretch the Bucks currently have. The Sixers and the Celtics we'll get to in a moment, but before we do that, again, still a little bit of time to hear from you. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Southside James, you're up next. What's going on, James?
Yeah, we just seen two weaknesses in the Bucks' armor tonight. Giannis getting five fouls there, and everybody's seeing that. And Brook Lopez out. Who's going to step in? Who's going to be the next man up if Brook can't play the rest of these games, if he's injured more than it looks like? How are we going to be able to win these games, the next 10 games or next bunch of games here?
Well, and look, you do bring up a good point. Thanks for the call, James, that we obviously know the importance and just how good Brook Lopez has been. But I think when you you're not around this team as closely, when you haven't been watching all this team's games, it may jump out at you when you hear Bucks fans or those around the team say how important Brook Lopez is and how big he's been. But to your point, James, that it really shined tonight, especially in terms of rim protection and some of the other things that we've seen, rebounding in the second half. And that's, you know, kind of been a thing that I don't think we can just say at this point. Maybe it is, but you're starting to reach the point of should we raise an eyebrow, that rebounding has started to become an issue. It was in the second half tonight. They've had full games where they just don't close out the possession. And this is a very, very good rebounding team that has now started to piece together some stretches that have not been good. And these final 24 minutes were not good, especially on the offensive glass. And that's what we've seen in most of these instances. Opponents attacking the offensive glass against a very good defensive rebounding Bucks team and just getting those second chance points. I know Brook Lopez has been on the floor for some of those moments, but not having Brook Lopez on the floor tonight certainly helped the Indiana Pacers do some of that. So, you know, as we mentioned with Dick earlier, it does seem like this is a very, very short-term thing for Brook Lopez. I'm not concerned about the ankle issue until it's getting to be, you know, multiple games in a row that he's missed. But there isn't really a plan B. And we knew that coming into the season. You don't have a replacement to Brook Lopez on the ready. Myers Leonard is not Brook Lopez's replacement. Does some nice things. You heard some more complimentary things that Bud had to say about him and his performance tonight. Myers Leonard isn't Brook Lopez. And that's kind of the under the radar. You know, Giannis is the best player in the league. Drew Holiday, as Rick Carlisle said before the game tonight, may be one of the more historically underrated players in the history of the NBA. Chris Middleton is starting to look a lot better now. Back in the starting lineup, more games under his belt. He's starting to look closer to the guy that really helped carry this team and played like an all-star the last couple of years. He's not there yet, but Chris Middleton starting to show those signs. But there is no backup to Brook Lopez. So his health is of the utmost importance, and he has been an Iron Man, not just this season, but really up until last year, his entire Bucks career, an absolute Iron Man, and his play this year, as good as Drew Holiday has been, you can make a very strong case that Brook Lopez is right up there with Drew Holiday as the second best player on the team this year. So you're going to need him healthy, but there's no signs to be concerned just yet with that ankle issue. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So I do want to get to the Celtics and Sixers schedule, but you know, we do have to point this. And by the way, too, Giannis has only fouled out of three games this year. The last game that he fouled out of was December 9th in Dallas. That crate, speaking of Brook Lopez, the game that Brook Lopez won on the sideline out of bounds play, but that's the last game that Giannis fouled out of this season, December 9th, one of three games. So it was a big issue years ago, earlier in his career. And you can see even tonight, when he picked up that fifth foul with about 7.5 minutes left, we immediately saw Bud go to the sidelines to pull him out. You can see Giannis like, no, I got it. Trust me, I know. I know how to play under control. For the most part, we've seen that. 7.5 minutes is a lot of time to allow a guy to play under control. But it's not the talking point that it was years ago, when that number was much higher than three. Three games that he's fouled out of this year. And again, the last time it happened was 3 months ago. So that's not anything I'm overly concerned with. The Pat Connaughton thing, again, concern is a strong word, but there's been a noticeable difference in Pat Connaughton this year. And I think early on, his return from the injury, we chalked it up to, well, he doesn't have his legs under him yet. It's going to take a little bit of time. We've seen that with Chris Middleton as well. But, you know, it does start to jump off the page that we're 50 games into this season for Pat Connaughton. and his minutes have been right around the same that we've seen for the last couple of years. It's always been around 20 minutes a game. 2 years ago, it was 23. Last year, it was 26, the most. And so far this year, it's 24 and a half minutes. He's taken seven shots a game. He took 7.5 a game last year. But last year, Pat Connaughton shot 46% from the field, 40% on his threes, 64% on his twos. And he had an effective field goal percentage of 61%. This year, Pat Connaughton is shooting just 38% from the field, 34% on his threes, and his effective field goal percentage of 512 right now would be, excluding take his rookie year out of the mix, that would be the lowest of his career. His 53% on twos would be the lowest since the 2017-18 season, the year prior to joining the Bucks. His 34% on threes, lowest since his second year in Milwaukee, that COVID year of 2019-20 when he shot 33% on threes. Those are the types of shots Pat Connaughton hit consistently his first few years here, and those were those momentum-changing sequences and plays. And the shots just haven't fallen, at least at a consistent rate so far this season. I'm not going to say you need Pat Connaughton to hit those shots all the time, but you're going to need moments like that in the postseason. The difference between this year and last year is you've added more around Pat Connaughton. It's the same conversation we had about Grayson Allen and how this team being healthy changes things for Grayson Allen. It changes things for Pat Connaughton, too. He's a nice piece to have. He's very versatile defensively. But if you're not going to hit shots, the Bucks have other options and other bodies to throw out there on the floor, defensively especially with the addition of Jay Crowder, who's going to take some of those opportunities from Pat. That shot just hasn't been there. I don't think we can say it's permanently gone or it won't be there at all this season, but you keep waiting on it. And there was at least three of those moments tonight when it was a one- or two-possession game. Pat Connaughton gets a good look, and the shot just doesn't fall. It's kind of been the norm this season. When we return, take a look at the Boston Celtics and 76ers schedules. Again, both those teams are in action tomorrow, so we'll see if that 2- and 3-game margin over Boston and Philly shrinks even more in the next 24 hours and what those two teams have after this. We'll do that as we wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk. All right, here's one other piece of good news. Bucks lose tonight by 16 to the Indiana Pacers, the seventh time they've lost at home this season. Only the seventh, I should say. The other piece of good news is this. It is not mathematically possible for the Bucks to be out of first place until March 22nd. In that scenario, the wheels would have to fall off. You would lose to the Raptors. You would lose to the Spurs. The Celtics and the Sixers would both never lose again. But March 22nd, so a little less than a week, that is the doomsday scenario of when the Bucks could concede first place in the Eastern Conference. So up next for both these teams, here's the other thing to keep an eye on. You look at the teams on the schedule and you say, well, pretty favorable for Philly and Boston in this stretch that they're currently in. And that is true. We thought the same about tonight against the Indiana Pacers, and look what happened. Philly and Boston both play tomorrow. 76ers take on the Charlotte Hornets on the road in Charlotte. It's a game they should win, and it's a game they very likely will win. The Boston Celtics are in Portland as part of the 6-game road trip against the Trailblazers. They both play Saturday as well. Philly is in Indiana against these Pacers. Night two of a back-to-back against a team that is playing at a high tempo. And look, we know Tyrese Halliburton isn't going to play in that game either. Rick Carlisle told us before the game it's going to be some time. He's going to miss at least the next three games. But this is not a team you want to play in a back-to-back at the pace they play at. And the Boston Celtics also play Saturday in a back-to-back in Utah against the Jazz. So Philly has the Hornets and Pacers for a back-to-back. Then they have Sunday off, but they play Monday at home against the Bulls. Tuesday off, then they go on the road against the Bulls, who are still fighting for their playoff lives. And that's the tough stretch where it begins. Next Friday, at the Warriors. Then another back-to-back Saturday at the Suns. Then Monday at the Nuggets. And then Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks, who are also fighting for their seeding and playoff lives. The tough part of the schedule is a week away for Philadelphia, and that leads right into matchups with the Bucks and the Celtics. For the Boston Celtics, similar story. The end of this road trip at Portland, at Utah, at Sacramento, those are difficult games. Then they have the Bucks on the 30th on the road, still got the Jazz and the Sixers. So those two teams are going to beat up on each other. You got to win the winnable games. Didn't happen tonight, but a good chance it does on Sunday when the homestand continues. Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and Justin Pottinger for producing the show. We'll talk to you Sunday night with more Bucks Talk.